Okay, Watts, let's get into this little time machine and go 500 years out into the future. You had mentioned something about Coca-Cola. Are they going to be around in 500 years?
I think there's every reason to think that something like Coca-Cola would still be here. When Mr. Goizetta still ran the company, they actually, you know, were interested in writing a 500-year plan, which had...
Can you imagine that?
had really very little to do with what they did. It had everything to do with what they believe. You know, great organizations that stand the test of time, George, usually don't do what made them great in the first place. DuPont was a gunpowder company. Matter of fact, it was one of my favorite stories because it was a man named Mari Daguerre who worked at Royal Dutch Shell who asked a bunch of people, and you know, what's the best criteria for the evaluation of the success of my business? And my response was, God, that's a great question, which, of course, is what I've learned, is what you say when you have no clue what the answer is.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so, you know, we thought about it, and we ended up realizing, like so many things in life, it's the simple things that tend to be the most wonderful. And the simple answer was, the best criteria for the evaluation of the success of any business is simply staying in business, simply making it. How come General Electric's biggest competitor for 90 years isn't here anymore, and GE still is? Of course, that competitor would be Westinghouse. And so Royal Dutch gave a bunch of us the money to study what turned out to be 300 businesses that had been in business from 150 to over 600 years. We stratified that sample, of course, because there's no 600-year-old businesses over here, but there's quite a few in Europe. And the four things that they had in common was, number one, was access to money. The number one reason for business failure has always been and probably always will be undercapitalization.
Right, yeah.
Number two was incredible sensitivity to their stakeholders, different stakeholding groups. I found most of them don't even know how many they have, let alone how to be, you know, sensitive to
mm-hmm,
them.
Mm-hmm.
Third was pretty good for me. It was tolerance for ambiguity of thought, or that ceaseless or relentless challenging of your own sense of conventionality. And then the fourth one was the one that really kind of gobsmacked everybody, was none of them made their money anymore from what it was that made them, you know, great in the first place. I mean, General Electric was a power company, and I can pretty much guarantee you that Nokia didn't make cell phones 200 years ago.
Right. Well, Ford stayed as a car maker. Some stayed the same, but they really never exploded.
Well, you know, it's funny you bring up Ford, because Ford doesn't make their own cars anymore. They actually spun a company out called Visteon that mm-hmm. manufactures their product, which isn't owned by them. And while Visteon makes Fords, they'll make a car for anybody. And so, like the Marriott brothers don't own hotels. They just manage
them. They manage them,
though.
Sure.
And so that you could say that that's a nuance, but I'd say that's really kind of different. If you don't own it and you're only managing it, you really start thinking about other issues and problems. So it's really kind of funny how, you know, even Coca-Cola was a patent medicine. And the longer out you look, interestingly, this was the experience from Coke, the longer out you look, the more you tend to start focusing on the here and now. The first decision Coke made after this was to do their marketing plans every week. And it's kind of funny how when you get the big picture of where you want to go and who you want to be, it really helps you make sure that every little step, you know, cowboys call them little gains, every little step you make is taking you towards that destination.
Baby steps, I call them.
There you go.
Don't you think, though, you know, if we're going to be able to increase longevity of humans, through cloning, through computer chips, through reprocessing, let's say, memory,
right,
that we're going to have a severe problem economically? I mean, how are we going to support all these people? Social Security is almost bankrupt already. What do we do with everybody?
Well, you know, some of the, again, back to the 500 years out, the obvious prediction was that we thought there would be fewer people in the world than there are today. And to that point about, the ability to pay, your lifespan will be based on your ability to pay for yourself. And having children will be something that will be, you know, in effect, originally taxed, but then auctioned off, so that only those who, you know, can afford it can have them. Minor crimes of violence will probably be met with permanent separation from society. There would be no money standard by that time. We would have, one of my favorites is the concept of demattering, you know, like in Star Trek where he said, beam me up, Scotty. Demattering will be possible, but the gray matter of the brain is so sensitive that while I can, you know, take you apart, matter you, and put you back somewhere else, I can't guarantee you're the same person when you get there.
No, that's true. You're gone. 500 years is a long time, Watts.
It is, but, you know, look back to the other night my kids and I were watching Ivanhoe, or, you know, you think of, we referenced Leonardo da Vinci, you know, 1,000 years ago, you know, we didn't even have the fork yet. In Western world, and we've made it past that, and, you know, a vacation was called a pilgrimage, and only people in nobility were allowed to wear color, and the average lifespan was, you know, about 30 years, and even when you bring up Social Security, I love to remind people that when Franklin Delano Roosevelt, you know, in effect created the Social Security Administration and set the mandatory retirement age at 65, the average lifespan was 62. This guy wasn't stupid, you know. The problem with Social Security today is, as we've expanded life, it needs to expand with it.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true. I mean, and it's entirely possible that we could blow ourselves up. We might not even be around then.
It is entirely possible, but I always try to look at both sides, you know. And of all the people who've ever reached the age of 80, who have ever walked this planet, you know, go back to Socrates and you know, think about anyone of all the people who've ever reached the age of 80 in the 4 million years of the human panoply. Half of them are alive today.